fashion through the pleasant New England community in which I had just settled. It seemed such an extraordinary notion. The idea that I could set off from home and walk 1,800 miles through woods to Georgia, or turn the other way and clamber over the rough and stony White Mountains to the fabled prow of Mount Katahdin, floating in forest 450 miles to the north in a wilderness few have seen. A little voice in my head said, "Sounds neat. Let's do it." I formed a number of rationalizations. It would get me fit after years of waddlesome sloth. It would be useful. I wasn't quite sure in what way, but I was sure, nonetheless, to learn to fend for myself in the wilderness. When guys in camouflage pants and hunting hats sat around in the Four Aces diner talking about fearsome things done out of doors, I would no longer have to feel like such a cupcake. I wanted a little of that swagger that comes with being able to gaze at a far horizon through eyes of chipped granite and say with a slow, manly sniff, "Yeah, I've shit in the woods." And there was a more compelling reason to go. The Appalachians are the home of one of the world's great hardwood forests, a relic of the richest, most diversified sweep of woodland ever to grace the temperate world. And that forest is in trouble. If the global temperature rises by 4 degrees centigrade over the next 50 years, as is evidently possible, then the whole of the Appalachian wilderness below New England could become savanna. Already, trees are dying in mysterious and frightening numbers. The elms and chestnuts are long gone. The stately hemlocks and flowery dogwoods are going. And the red spruces, Fraser firs, hickories, mountain ashes, and sugar maples may be about to follow. Clearly, if ever there was a time to experience this singular wilderness, it was now. So, I decided to do it. More rashly, I announced my intention, told friends and neighbors, confidently informed my publisher, made it common knowledge among those who knew me. Then I bought some books and talked to people who had done the trail in whole or in part, and came gradually to realize that this was way beyond anything I had attempted before. Nearly everyone I talked to had some gruesome story involving a guileless acquaintance who had gone off hiking the trail with high hopes and new boots and come stumbling back 2 days later with a bobcat attached to his head, or dripping blood from an armless sleeve and whispering, "Bear!" in a hoarse voice before sinking into a troubled unconsciousness. The woods were full of peril. Rattlesnakes and water moccasins and nests of copperheads, bobcats, bears, coyotes, wolves, and wild boar, loony hillbillies, destabilized by gross quantities of impure corn liquor and generations of profoundly unbiblical sex, rabies-crazed skunks, raccoons, and squirrels, merciless fire ants and ravening blackfly, poison ivy, poison sumac, poison salamanders, even a scattering of moose, lethally deranged by a parasitic worm that burrows a nest in their brains and befuddles them into chasing hapless hikers through remote, sunny meadows and into glacial lakes. Literally unimaginable things could happen to you out there. I heard of a man who had stepped from his tent for a midnight pee and was swooped upon by a short-sighted hoot owl. The last he saw of his scalp, it was dangling from talons, prettily silhouetted against a harvest moon. And of a young woman who was woken by a sinuous tickle across her belly and peeked into her sleeping bag to find a copperhead bunking down in the warmth between her legs. I heard 4 separate stories, always related with a chuckle, of campers and bears sharing tents for a few confused and lively moments. Of people abruptly vaporized, 'twarn't nothing left of him but a scorch mark, by body-sized bolts of lightning when caught in sudden storms on high ridgelines, of tents crushed beneath falling trees, or eased off precipices on ball bearings of beaded rain and sent paragliding onto distant valley floors, or swept away by the watery wall of a flash flood, of hikers beyond counting, whose last experience was trembling earth and the befuddled thought, "Now what the f—" It required only a little light reading in adventure books and almost no imagination to envisage circumstances in which I would find myself